cliffcentral.com.
It's the weekend!
Yeah,
baby!
Woo! What a way! What a jam! Kitchenada!
It's a clan to find the pinch.
Man, Kitchenada coming through on that one. It's called Light Spots. Love this song. Love it. I finally got his full album. He released an album last year by the name 99.9%. So he was like half, basically a 0.1% away from being perfect. But I think he, you know, he did that song perfectly.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be always. It should always be that little bit away from perfection.
Yeah.
Because you can't reach your pinnacle while you're still alive. You're still breathing and adapting to this earth, man.
Exactly. So. Isn't it interesting that you have to die to live perfectly? I find that, like, to be such a paradox. It's weird, man.
They're trying to get us to die so we can live the ultimate life.
You know what I mean?
What is that?
That is so scary.
Who the hell invented this nonsense?
It's crazy. Before we jump into another death conversation, because I feel like we have a
lot of... we're not going to You're not about
We have a lot of death conversations. All right, welcome to the show. It is 20-something. My name is Just Another Cool Kid, or Jack for short. I'm joined by Nell Van Given and Miss Lundy Sam. How are you guys doing?
We're back like toast on butter. We're back like mozzarella on cheese.
Oh, yeah.
It's so delicious right now. Roasted chicken is about to be a feast, yeah, no?
Oh, so nice. I couldn't have put a bit of myself.
Anti them. You know? Oh, it's my good feelings, man. I've been in my drawers the whole week.
There we go.
I think I talked about this a while ago.
2 weeks ago, yes.
Yeah, that I want to pursue this whole sitting in my drawers thing. And I think one day, one of these past few days, my mind just snapped. I'm adapting and becoming a different being, and I love it.
That's cool.
Now I'm sitting around in my drawers. I even go outside in my drawers, and I don't live in
the burbs.
I live with actual people outside.
All right.
What do you mean actual people?
No, I mean, like, you know, when you live in the burbs, you never see anybody. You don't know who your neighbors are.
You don't really know who your neighbors are.
I'm in that Kasi flavor, baby.
Right.
I'm in there.
And look, I don't know what it's like growing up in other places.
Me neither.
I only know Kasi life.
Yeah.
And that flavor is something that could never die.
Ugh. Okay.
It's got this intangible quality about it.
You know what I think it is? I think it's that difference that makes some of us Africans, firstly, but mostly South Africans and other people not.
True.
That is the difference.
True.
Right
True.
There.
For sure. For sure. So. I mean, we live in a very unique country.
Very unique.
I don't want to get into what happened yesterday, but nonetheless,
very special.
It's unique. Have you guys seen some of the things that have happened in Chinese parliament? Like they beat each other up. They don't need security forces.
Yeah.
What? You've got the Minister of Finance going up against the Minister of Home Development. Like, hey man, yeah.
Give me a damn portfolio. You're not doing the right done.
You know what I mean?
Out.
We aren't necessarily that unique
It's not a unique circumstance. That's true.
And considering the fact that this happened last year, like, I mean, pound for pound, basically, it happened the exact same way last year.
We should have known.
I saw it coming. And on top of that, it was like the worst movie ever. Like the one that started like it started off with so much action and you know, unbelievable things, and then we get into the main headline, like the story. Oh. And everyone just fell asleep.
It's like
1 hour later.
It's like no.
It's like no.
We're sleeping now.
So boring. 1 hour later.
We're gonna change the channel.
Yeah, we must change it.
What are you Right?
So, I mean, I don't want to put anyone else to sleep.
Yeah.
A couple of things have happened this week. We heard the unfortunate news that Mr. Van der Westhuizen passed on. U.S. Van der Westhuizen. Are any of you two?
Van der Westhuizen.
That's a juiced. He caught him juiced. He killed him twice.
Can you imagine? Are you guys rugby fans by any chance? I actually wanted to find out.
At some point, I was.
At some point, you were.
Yeah.
What happened?
I grew up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I even played at some point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Please don't tell me you're a hooker. No, just
take your work. I played at some point, but hey.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was
I hate it.
I loved it.
I hated rugby.
You know why I loved it? I loved it more because when you're female and you're playing rugby, when you walk in, I know.
And you've got the body.
Yeah, you get your respect. And I like the fact that no one could just mess with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I can get that. It's just my biggest problem was I was forced to play rugby. Mm. Like, I did the dumbest thing ever. Like, I didn't even know it was dumb. It was, I think we were in grade 7, I think. And we were just playing a random game of rugby during break. Mm. And the coach from the high school, because we share the same... King Edwards, like you share the same fields and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I caught an intercept and I ran, scored a try. And this guy saw me when he was a high school teacher. I was in primary school and he saw me. He's like, "You must come play rugby for me next year. What grade are you?" And I'm like, grade 7. He's like, "Come play
rugby."
But
couldn't you say no?
No, I couldn't.
What?
Actually, I couldn't. So
okay,
that's why I hated rugby. I was forced into it. But nonetheless, rest in peace to Mr. Joost van der Westhuizen.
Yeah.
He fought bravely against MND, motor neuron disease, which is an insidious disease, seriously, because it's almost as if you become a prisoner in your own body. And it I can't even begin to imagine what that feels like. I think maybe we should try get Stephen Hawking on the phone and talk to him. He might let us know what it feels like to live like that.
People, ba ba, people, ba ba ba, boopy, ba ba.
Translation.
I don't have Please. It. I don't have it. I don't have the translation. I can't. No, I don't have it.
All right. But I mean, I watch Big Bang Theory all the time, and they make fun of Stephen Hawking all the time, so I don't think it's wrong for us to make fun of him either.
No, it's not an offense to make fun of any damn body. I think anytime you keep anything that's within you and you don't put it out there, that's the sin right there.
That's the offense.
That is the offense right there. Okay.
Alrighty.
Point of order. That's not my name.
We do not recognize.
No. Not at all. Okay.
All right. What else happened this week?
Have I been paying attention much? No.
No, you haven't.
No.
You have not been paying attention.
I literally came to life today.
What were you doing for the, what were you doing for the rest of the week? You were just laying there?
I was dead.
Oh my God.
And I was besides my body.
Wow. Wow. You know what? Like
past 2 weeks, I was just not leaving.
At all. Ugh. Guys, that's terrible.
Well, the other week I was sick.
Yes.
And then this week, it was the thing. I am recovering. How?
So, are you fully recovered now?
Yes, I am.
I don't want to catch anything.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
I was in Iran last week. I had to go to court. Some idiot broke into my house and I caught him red-handed. So, I had to go to court to testify, to tell the people, you know.
Were you the red ant or were you the white shirt?
I was the white shirt. The white shirt, if memory serves. So it really irritates me that I had to participate in that. Like, I don't like sending young black people to prison. Like, that's the one thing I hate doing. In fact, the moment I caught him, I pulled him to the side. I was like, "Look, dude, let's sort this thing out now. I don't want to get cops and stuff involved. Give us back what you took and let us fix what you broke." The guy was like, "Nah, call the police. It's fine." So I was like, okay, I'm going to call
did?
The police. Yeah, he told me. He was like, dude, call the police. It's fine. I was like, aye.
That guy's got balls for days.
Aye, fine. We'll call the police. And what ended up happening is that he lives up the road from my house. So his older brother and I played soccer as kids. We grew up together.
Yeah.
So his older brother and the aunt came up to us and they were lying. Like, can you believe they lied to us? Telling us, no, this guy is so sad in there. He's not having such a great time, whatever. I'm like, of course. He's in prison.
That was the whole point. What was he thinking when he said, go right ahead?
So when they bring him out of the cells and they put him in the box, he's giving us these nasty ass looks like, I'm going to kill you. What? I'm like, okay, you're going to have to wait about 5 years before you can do that, actually.
So he was sentenced?
Not sentenced. He wasn't sentenced. It was the trial, basically.
Yeah.
We were there. I was giving my account of what happened on the night. The defense attorney was useless, actually. He asked me like two questions. He was like, did you really see him? Like, was there enough light around you? I'm like, we've got lights inside the yard and outside the yard. So, yeah. I saw him. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway.
So it worked out.
It did, ultimately. Yeah. I found out something really cool, though. There's this music mobility fund that's put together by the people at Samro. Basically, it's a tour funding mechanism that offers opportunities for professional South African musicians to undertake live music tours in South Africa as well as other South African development community. That's the SADC region, countries, mm-hmm. right? And the fund provides support to live music performers, collaborations, and performance-based workshops. So if you are a musician out there and you'd like to get your music out there and you want to tour South Africa, Mozambique, that kind of vibe, you know, our neighboring countries, make sure that you check it out, man. It's called the South African Mobility Fund 2017. Check it out. Just by the way, the deadline, the application deadline is on the 26th of February. So musicians, go get your shit out there.
Get it done. Get it done. I'm loving it. The knocking that he does. Like, hey, wake up.
Do you know what?
Like, I became lawyer and lawyer.
Hey, seriously.
Hey.
My problem is I have come across so many amazing, gifted, talented musicians.
Like yourself.
Yeah. And I actually didn't want to put myself in this conversation, but nonetheless. But a lot of really great boundary-pushing musicians that are sitting at home not knowing how to, you know, get their name out there. And I feel like the music industry in this country at this point in time is saturated by the same sounds, by the same people. It's like we need something different, man. So if you are a musician, I'll knock again. Go out there and get your music out, man.
And jump.
God damn it. God damn it.
Wake these people up. Do it for them. There we go.
Come on.
You know, we're preparing also for next week. Some of us, not all of us. You might be this fuckboy or you might attract this type of fuckboy.
Okay.
Apparently there's levels. You know, there's levels to everything, but yeah, I suppose, yeah. So I need to know from the two of you.
All right.
Which stars, according to the zodiac sign that you are, this is the type of fuckboy that you attract.
Oh, okay. But I wouldn't want to attract the fuckboy.
Yeah, but you might be that fuckboy.
We need to go back and check where we belong since the universe shifted and our zodiac signs changed.
Mine never goes anywhere. It was the same thing.
Someone, you know, these people who had tattoos of their like Scorpio, Libra. Now this whole thing changed and you're like, what are you?
I just find it difficult to believe that your personality.
I know one victim, Roxy Berger.
Yeah.
She thought she was a Capricorn or
something.
Oh, she has a tattoo. So, and now the dates.
My problem is, right, now that the universe has shifted or whatever, I've never believed in zodiac signs.
Same. Yeah.
And now that it's changed, all of the Capricorns, the Sagittarius people, what are you now?
What exactly? Are you now?
Look at you now.
Get your tattoos.
Can you imagine? My dad is, he just turned 62 a couple of weeks ago on the 29th of January. He's been what's after Capricorn? Is it Pisces or something like that? Whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah,
that
should be.
He's been that for 62 years. Now I must walk up to him and say, hey, by the way, you are Capricorn. Get the hell out of here, man. Do me a favor, please. Get out of here, man.
Get out of here, man.
If you're a Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd, you attract men who are looking for a mom, not a girlfriend. They see how put together you are and think that by the magic of being around you, they'll become put together too. You find yourself taking care of them more and more until you wake up one day and realize it feels more like you have a kid than a partner.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's me right there. According to the zodiac sign. Okay, oh, I'm going to say it's me. But could be. All right.
Yeah, but we know you. And that could be.
So that's the type of boy that you attract. F-boy that you attract if you are a Virgo. So I'm waiting now. I need to hear. Leos, what are you?
I don't know. Cancers? What am I? I need to check. I'm between Scorpio and Libra. Somewhere there.
Scorpio and Libra.
23rd of October.
Okay, let's just go Scorpio. Okay.
Scorpio.
So 23rd October to 22nd November. Mm. This is the type of F-boy that you attract. You attract men who can't... Oh, you are this F-boy. You attract men who can't move beyond the surface level. They love a Scorpio because you can banter with the best of them, but they never want to put that shield down. They pick fights with you for the sole purpose of avoiding a moment where you might be real with each other. Ah, Lone is hiding. They knock you down or make a joke when you need them to support you. As feisty as you admittedly are, you also have intellectual needs and witty banter, and it isn't going to fill them for very long.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So, Londi.
Londi, Sam.
I feel like Londi is this F-boy.
What?
Right? You're hiding right there. You are
why
the F-boy for real.
I feel like I am. You, like, judging from what you know about me, what do you think?
Ah, I see. Women, that's a setup. I'm not falling into that trap.
It is.
I'm not.
Baby, seriously, baby. Do I look fat in these jeans?
No, but judging from what you've seen from our interactions, what do you think?
Okay, no, she asked you. I'm not a part of this conversation at this point in time.
You ducking, you dipping out just like that. How dare you dip out on me like that?
Mm-mm.
That's nonsense.
Let's say what kind of a fuckboy is he?
On Twitter, at KC_C says, yeah, Leo, watch you. Yeah, what? Yeah, Leo, what are they saying about Leos? Okay, so I suppose let's look at the Leos now.
Mm-hmm,
Just to completely avoid Londi also.
Yeah,
I can tell.
So I'd rather focus on Twitter. So July 23rd to August 22nd. This is your F-boy, or you are this F-boy. You attract men who aren't over their ex.
Ooh.
They see you as a means to an end, getting back at her by making her jealous. They want, above all, a girl who looks good on social media.
Wow.
And Casey's so active on social media.
Like,
crazy. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's insulting because while yes, you're definitely that girl, you're also so much more, and he doesn't give a damn.
Sorry about that.
Askis Casey.
Sorry about that. Let's not even jump into mine.
Come on.
No.
Tell us. Listen, I know when your birthday is. Let me just
it's on the 4th of June, yeah. I'm what you call a Gemini. Apparently, Geminis are two-faced or have split personalities or some ish like that.
So this is
the type of F boy I would be.
That you are.
That I. Oh wow! You see what I'm saying? That's why I didn't want to even participate, man.
So May 22nd to June 21st, you attract lazy men.
So I'm lazy.
They see how exciting you are and decide that they want to live vicariously through you.
Ooh.
They put you in the driver's seat and never lift a finger to plan something fun or romantic in the entire relationship.
Oh.
They see you as a show that exists to entertain them and figure out what is going on to make their whole life meaningful. While they like to lay on the couch, they don't do anything for themselves.
Oh my god. Could that one be even any more wrong? Like, I'm the biggest romantic you'll ever come across. Like, I'm the
single guy. I'm just saying.
I'm serious. Yeah, but I mean, I'm single because I'm looking for the right person to give this romance.
What is the right person?
No, look. Honestly speaking, I have a very, I wouldn't say short attention span, but it's like I get bored really quickly. You know what I mean? Like. And instead of having to chase someone down to do exciting things and whatnot, I want someone who is excited by doing exciting things, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like, spark my fire, I'll spark yours.
Totally talking about anal, I swear, yeah?
I'm just saying, like, I would want someone, I'm looking for someone who can not only inspire me, but, you know, make me want to inspire them. You know what I mean? Like, there should be give and take type thing. And sometimes I come across, well, I end up dating people that don't necessarily aspire to those things, which is pretty sad. But I mean, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It's life.
You're okay with being your own wolf or running by yourself, right?
There you
now.
Go. Yeah. And strangely
and you're enjoying
enough,
it also. So.
True. Strangely enough, it's somewhat what we're going to be talking about this afternoon.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to join the conversation, please do. You can send us a message on WhatsApp 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. We're talking about self-love, man. What does self-love mean to you? What does it mean to actually love yourself? Like, you know, a lot of people, I remember when we were here with Mas Chaba a couple of months ago, and she was like, people always get shocked when you tell them to be themselves. Like, they don't know what that means exactly, you know? So to a lot of different people, self-love might just mean a lot of different things, you know? Like, to me, in my mind, it would be, number one, accepting who and what you are.
Yeah.
I think that would be the number one thing, more importantly than anything else. Understanding the fact that you are in this lump of clay, right? And your soul or whatever it is you believe in, your soul or your spirit, moves this piece of clay around. And the things that you come around, that you come into contact to, at least, shape who you are. Mm-hmm. And the decisions that you make based on the different stimuli that are around you make you the Londi that sits in front of us right now. Yeah. And if you're not willing to accept the spirit or the soul that is inside the clay is going to be a bit of a problem. You're going to look at your body and think, I don't know, man. Why are my legs so skinny? Why is this so wrong? Why is, you know? So I think it starts with acceptance, personally speaking.
Yeah, I get that. Is it not... Okay, fine. You accept who you are and be happy and with what you are and who you are. And then what if you're not living it? Because you can accept something, fine, this is it. But if you're not living it, then that's I feel like that's where the problem starts.
I think
it should be an everyday thing so that you're not going to find yourself looking for these other things, looking for affirmation from other people, looking for... There's a word I'm looking for. It's gone. looking for that.
Yeah. Yes.
From other people. I feel like if you're not living it, if it is not something that you were taught at a very young age, then it becomes a problem. Because you cannot get to realize that now I have to love myself, now I have to do this all by yourself. You need to be taught.
I don't know. I beg to differ. I have come across, you know, there's certain people that just don't change. In fact, I have always believed that people don't change, period. You know what I mean? There's certain things that happen inside your head that no one has access to. Those things never change. How you come about making certain decisions, I don't think that changes. I don't think people... are one thing today and something else tomorrow. You know what I mean? You can be an alcoholic and then stop drinking alcohol, but you're still the idiot that decided to start drinking alcohol in the first place.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
You're never not an alcoholic.
You're never not something that you think you can change. Like, I have always been the talkative, loudmouth person that I am. I've always been there. What has changed is the situations that I find myself in, and ultimately the type of person I choose to be in those moments. Mm. But in its entirety, my life in its entirety, I've never changed. And the people around me have never changed, in actuality. I think if you are selfish, you are just selfish. You might manifest those things differently when certain things are brought to you, but you'll still be selfish.
Okay.
And accepting that.
I just feel like, let's say, for instance, I am a mother. And okay. If I don't teach my child or my kids, I would say, this is love. This is how you should be loved. And this is how you should love yourself. It's as that child grows up, it's just not going to be an easy thing to really know what is self-love.
I mean, there's so many...
Hence, the element of teaching comes in.
I don't think that's something that can be taught. No one ever taught me how to love myself. No one ever, in my mind at least. I stand to be corrected. But I mean, I've got this cousin. Her name is Witumel. She has always been the craziest one out of all of us. From the way she dresses, from the things she talks about, the things that she finds interesting. She's always been that person, you know? Her parents never had to tell her, by the way, this is the, you must love this thing, this whatever. You know what I mean? Like, she's always been that. And she felt comfortable doing precisely that. Like, there's certain kids that will grow up in a family household with the parents there and all of that, you know what I mean? And they're shown love. And as you say, maybe they're taught how to love themselves. And at some point, become the biggest murderers and killers ever. You know, there's people that mutilate themselves, that cut themselves and do all types of weird things to their bodies. Just, and to them, it's okay. It's fine. It's whatever. But they were taught how to love themselves. Using the example you just made.
That's exactly what self-love is for me. Being able to leave your footprints in the sand and not wondering if you did it right. You know? Not looking back and thinking, oh, damn, okay, must I go do it again?
That was so eloquent. Please say it again. Just
being
one more time.
Self-love is being able to leave your footprints in the sand and not wondering if you did it right. Sure. That's what matters. You fully expressed yourself. You did it because that's what it was for you in that moment, or that was the pursuit. And end of the day, it was done for yourself because you wanted to. It wasn't about how it was going to impact the thing that you were interacting with. No, no, no. It was, I am putting out this energy for me and in this way. And regardless of what the reaction is, I've put that out there.
For sure.
That is self-pursuit. That is self-empowerment or self-love or whatever.
And it gives a sense of freedom. I feel like there's a sense of freedom that comes with it. You know what I mean? Like once you look at yourself in the mirror and you literally see deep into yourself, mm-hmm. once you know what's what within yourself, you are capable of moving mountains, literally. Like you, there's nothing that could stand in front of you that makes you question or wonder or doubt anything that is going to be manifested from your point of view. I feel like that's just how it should be. If anything, what we should be teaching our kids, I think, is letting them understand who, not necessarily who, but where they are in relation to the world. You get what I mean? Sometimes we don't take into consideration where we are in this space. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I when you think of right now, we are seated in the Cliff Central Studios, which are in Rivonia. Rivonia is in Sandton. Sandton is in Joburg. Joburg is in Gauteng. Gauteng is one of 9 provinces in our country. Our country is one of, I believe, 52 states on our continent. Our continent is one of 7. Now, try to imagine the space that I'm talking about from where we are to the rest of the world. And then our world in comparison to our solar system. And our solar system in comparison to the billions and billions and gajillions of solar systems out there, those that we know of and those that we don't know of. If you understand where you are within that space, nothing can stop you.
Yeah.
I don't think anything can stop you, because at that point in time you realize the good news is nothing lasts forever. Yeah. And the bad news is nothing lasts forever.
This needs some applause. Okay. I mean, that was a lot, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, take it.
I'll take it.
While we're speaking about self-love being brave, I think that self-love is Annika Larsson, ETV senior reporter.
Okay.
Yes.
Yesterday was covering the red carpet aspect of Sona 2017. And obviously she was talking to different individuals, and because people are walking by, it's not planned. You're not like, oh, I'm going to speak to President Zuma when he walks by, and you know, this is scheduled. And she was looking for Helen Ziller. Ziller was there on the carpet, and Annika wanted to talk to Helen bloody Ziller. But there she is, there on the other side, too far for her to hear her calling out, Madam Premier, Madam Premier, Madam Premier.
Over and over.
Over and over again. So she decided, okay, I'm going to grab the nearest person to me who's inside the red carpet and ask that person to go call Helen Ziller for me so I can talk to Helen Ziller.
Yeah.
That right there is self-love, because
Yeah. Yeah. Not caring what the other person is going to say. She just went all in. She called that woman. She's like, I'm so sorry.
Like, but
please
don't
take this the wrong way. I don't think that you're not dressed properly or anything, but could you please do me this favor? She just didn't care what was going to happen, but all she was focused on was, I need to speak to this woman so that she can go and call Helen for me.
There was no doubt in her mind.
None
Live
whatsoever.
On national television, it was like there was no doubt in that this thing that she wants is going to happen.
It must
happen. To a point where the SAPS, they were like, the red carpet is closed. You need to move. She's like, listen, I'm going to move. But right now I need to speak to Helen Zilla. She's coming. I'm going to wait for her, speak to her, then we will move.
Yeah.
Like, that was just... a lot. That was huge.
It's that inner confidence. It's that that freedom that comes from inside. That resonates.
Now
across.
My question is, why do we then in most cases seem to stop loving ourselves and put other people first? Mm. Why do we do that? I'm gonna make a typical example. Boyfriend and girlfriend. Girlfriend is still at school, boyfriend is working now. Well, just started working. And then you're like, no, I've been with this person for so long. I'm going to support this person. Out of the 1,000 rand that I have, I'm going to give her this much and I'm going to be left with this much. Like, why do we lose it? Why do we stop? I don't know whether I should say stop or we love ourselves part-time.
Do you know what it is?
And you're trying so hard to push the next person. You're like, you need to achieve A, B, C, and D. That time you haven't even started achieving your own goals.
Do you know what it is? I think it starts with the idea of reciprocity. Like, all of us want more often than not, we find ourselves wanting whatever we put out to be reciprocated in our direction. Like, if I love you, I want you to love me too. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if it, once we add other people into our lives and all of that stuff, and we put out good vibes and whatnot, and those vibes aren't sent back, we are disappointed because we send it out with the expectation that it should be given back. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to simple things, well, not simple things, but what should be simple things, respect and courtesy, common courtesy, those kind of things, we do a lot of these things hoping that someone would do it right back to us. If I hold the door open for you, I expect you to hold the door open for me if I'm carrying things as well.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Meanwhile, I believe if we were to just do things, like really genuinely not care, like we should be able to sit here, do this radio show with not a doubt in our minds or a care in the world if people are listening or not.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be about. I feel like that's how things are supposed to be. Naturally, that would be in a, you know, utopia, perfect world.
An ideal world.
which doesn't necessarily exist. But I mean, from... As the example I made earlier on, in reference to where we are in relation to what we are surrounded by, our little spot, our little movement, our little energy in ourselves, it shouldn't pain us when things don't go the way we thought they should. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's about you. We sometimes forget that, look, we aren't islands or whatever, but this is your life.
Like, this is your life.
This is literally, look, YOLO is a nice catchphrase. Yeah. It's a song. But seriously, you only live once. You didn't need Drake to come and tell you that. But you genuinely only live once.
Exactly. So what's this thing of loving ourselves part-time then?
It's because we've been taught that through loving others, your love becomes greater. You know, it's like... if you can love other things and other beings and make sure that they flourish in a way that you see that they could, you investing that time and that energy and that love is making your inner love or whatever it is, it's making that greater. Like, it's enhancing it somehow. You are becoming more. So that's what we've been taught. Love your parents, love your partner, love all of this and then that. and you can only do it through other vessels, not through your own. So that's what it is.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's endless.
It's so endless. It's so huge. I mean, there's been so many. We've heard rifts with families because of this thing. Now I want to do this, and they're like, no,
but you're not allowed.
Because we you don't understand. We're saying these things to you because we love you. And you need to be a teacher. No, you cannot be a journalist. No, you can't.
You know what I mean? I think,
and because you. I need these people. I need this money.
I need this. You want something out of them, so you keep loving them.
Actually, I want why don't we? Oh, gosh.
The moment
there's just so much in my head right now. I'm struggling to put it into words because it just doesn't make sense to me. Why do we stop loving ourselves and allow other people to take control and take the steering wheel in regards to driving your life the direction you wanted to go?
The moment you start outsourcing things that should be internal, there's going to be some problems, okay? Like, my relationship with my dad, for instance. We don't get along on one fundamental thing. Like, we get along okay about every other thing, but we don't get along on one fundamental thing, is that I am not him. I might be a mirror image of him. Like, I look like my dad more than I look like my mom. The only thing on my face that I have that is my mom's is my nose and the color of my eyes. That's it. Otherwise,
is so precise.
How you doing?
That was very precise.
I mean, I grew up looking at these people. I kind of picked it up. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, wow. You're not even told.
You know? And because of that, he felt that I was going to be a mini him. I was going to do the IT thing. I was going to be, you know, I am book smart. He thought I was going to live the way he lived his life. I wouldn't sag my pants. I wouldn't all of those things. But the fact of the matter is, the moment he would come into the room, I'd pull my pants up just as he turns his back to leave, I'd sag my pants. You know?
You get what I mean by part-time? You're like, I'm there now, and okay, no, this doesn't allow me to be there.
I mean,
like,
that was growing up.
Why do we do that to ourselves?
That was growing up. Here's the thing. If you are a 14 or 15-year-old individual and you've got parents, you can't really cross your parents. Like, you can't tell them... well, the way we were raised, at least... You can't really tell your parents, no, fuck that. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know what I mean? Not all people have the courage to do that. And what ends up happening is you mold yourself in a way that suits your parents up until you have the actual freedom to do what it is you want to do.
That's exactly it right there. We're afraid of loving ourselves the way that we can because we're afraid of being alone.
That's the problem.
We don't want to be alone. They're going to leave me if I do that.
Yes.
And they're going to hate me and look at me different, and it's not going to be the same relationship.
That's outsourcing what should be an internal thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's going to think I don't care about her if I don't do this. Like, yeah, no, I need to do this for her. I need to do this for this guy because he's in my life. Like, hold up. What about you?
Yeah.
You want to give this girl 600 gems to do her hair. That time, you know very well that you need a new pair of sneakers.
I feel like people are afraid of honesty. But before we carry on, listen, this is a very interesting conversation. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on WhatsApp 079-748-2090. You can send us a tweet at JNG_live. Got it out right.
What?
Nice one.
At JNG_live at clipcentral.com on Twitter. Send us your thoughts. Give us your opinions about what you think it means to love yourself. What is self-love? And we'll be reading out some of your comments as the show progresses. All right. Sorry about that. Where were we?
Yeah, man. We need to get it back now. I feel like it's a little bit gone.
Yeah.
But we're also, before we end off this discussion, we're going to end it off just now, but we're also going to talk about the grinning nigger.
The grinning nigger.
Okay.
Grinning nigger.
We'll talk about that as well. Just think about what that might mean to you in your life.
Yeah. What I've come to notice, what I was going to say actually, was that we do not, we're very finicky about when we choose to be honest. Human beings, there are times where we really don't want to go on that date.
Yes.
And we really don't want to
be with this person.
Maybe, like, I still want to be with you, Londi.
But not in that way.
Look,
like,
I don't want to go to Debonair's tonight, okay? I don't want to have dinner with your parents. And I, you know, and we always assume that by putting those kind of thoughts out there, we're alienating ourselves. Whereas, in actual fact, you will know the next time that I don't want to have dinner with your parents.
Yeah.
Therefore, you will not invite me. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever come across a person who is so themselves that they draw you towards them just somehow?
Yeah.
It's not even a thing about you didn't have a conversation with this person. You don't know them from above. So,
yeah.
And yet somehow you're just drawn into them. I think that stems from an unshakable, unchanging understanding and true loving of yourself. You know what I mean? Being able to put aside societal pressures and societal perceptions and thoughts and whatever, and just literally just living your life the way you want to live. You know,
I think our world would be a better place if we lived our lives the way we want to be.
Yeah.
We shouldn't conform.
Keep in mind, the world we live in now was strange once upon a time. Like, what we consider to be the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do was something that didn't exist maybe 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? My grandmother didn't have a, like, proper job. She didn't go to an office or anything like that. She washed dishes for some white lady and looked after that white lady's kids and all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, whoever I'm going to be with needs to do whatever that pleases her. I know for damn sure that my grand didn't want to be doing that, but she was forced to make a living.
Now we get to the grinning nigger.
Yes.
Okay, because you have that job and you have those colleagues and you are existing in that environment. And obviously you know how to live in such, or how to exist in that environment in such a way that is beneficial for your career going forward.
Yeah.
For your job.
Yes.
So this is from, it's a quote for, or scene from Being Mary Jane, the series Being Mary Jane. She was interviewing this reality TV star.
Fake reality TV.
Yes. Fake. It's a show. So it's all fake. It's all in script. Okay. Jeez. Fake reality TV star. And this is what sort of came out of the interview. They had a... Yeah. Okay.
After secret. Are you sure you don't want to let us in on that secret? We've got 5 million viewers right here.
No. What I need is somebody younger who interviewed me,
who actually know what the hell they're talking about.
This is such a bad
when
idea.
It comes to fashion. Your ass is too narrow to fit in one of my suits, you know?
Drive this up, please.
Well, thank you. You can see Mercedes Wilkerson and all of the Family Brawler misfits every Monday night at 9 p.m. on VMT. And for those of you looking to find Mercedes fashions, you can find those being sold out of the trunk of her car in the parking lot of a strip club. We'll be right back.
That's Mr. Diddy ass bitch right there.
Listen, you backwards ass country Bama bitch. I was trying to help you.
Help me do what? I don't need your damn help. You know what the hell I am? I'm Mercedes.
Bitch, you a Buick. Okay? You breed for a living.
I breed for rich men. What the hell do you do besides walk around here trying to act all white and cute and whatever?
Whoa. Next time, swallow your kids, bitch.
Swallow my kids. All right now. Getting the bad bitch out of you. Look at you. All this time, I thought you was one black girl trying to be white, but I see you, girl. I like that one right there.
I'm sorry. Y'all made me come out my face, and I'm...
Like, I don't even know how you even work in this diddy-ass face in the first place.
You know, you do what you gotta do.
Well, keep doing it then, bitch. You're doing one hell of a good job. Follow my kids.
There you have it. That was like, it was a switch.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Welcome to the 9 o'clock news. Today, the president kicked someone else out of parliament. Don't talk about me like that. Excuse me, ukhuluma nami. Ngizokusha yeso. Ungazokutshala yazini. Ngiyabona ukuthi ngihlangane nawe khona ni ucaba ukuthi uzongitshela yazini ngizokulimaza yeso. Is that okay?
What happened to that polished English?
What happened to you? Have you ever found yourselves in that position, either one of you?
So essentially the context is as blacks, okay? We have this thing where we mimic our Caucasian colleagues.
Yeah.
To appear in a way that is non-threatening and that is palatable, I suppose is the word.
Yes.
Okay, so you can be accepted into the environment. So you can coexist with these people in a way that is friendly. So you're not trying to be there being your black self. Laughing, quackling. I mean, we quacks.
Yeah. I think we just had a moment earlier on of that sort.
You know, and you speak in tones and registers that are like this, like, yo, oh my God, yo, hey.
I know what you're talking about, hey.
If you've ever heard a black person say inside voice, you know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about it the other day.
Oh my God.
You know, my thing is this. We are stepping into what I feel is somewhat dangerous territory for one reason, honestly speaking. Putting us into pigeonholes is difficult. Like, the idea that white people don't laugh crazy like that is nonsense. It's absolute bullshit. I want to call bullshit on that. We as people in general, across the board, as individuals have our own unique funny things that we do, you know, but because of the way our society has been structured and, you know, centuries of the dehumanization of black people, we are now the people outside the gate talking to the gatekeepers, trying to get them to let us in, you know. And the problem is the rules are always changing. Like, it's very difficult for us to find the right way to behave according to what we think white people or the gatekeepers actually want. You know what I mean? In the beginning, they said black people are lazy. Black people are lazy. They don't want to do anything, wada, wada, wada. And then we became the hardest working people in the world. I mean, we were forced to pick cotton. We were forced to do all these manual labor jobs and go underground and mine for diamonds and mine for gold and all of this stuff while white people sat in offices and whatnot. And then they said, no, well, you can't really be a part of us just yet. You need to get educated. You need to read books and whatnot. So we did that. We started reading books and all of this stuff. We've got Nobel Prize winners that are black people. And we, you know, in almost every sphere of life, you can find a black person within that, you know. And then some of us decided, you know what, I'm just going to sit home, watch the TV, be lazy, not do shit, because no matter what I try to do, it's always being shut down.
Yeah.
And
word.
Where do we step into the world now? I'm not allowed to sit at home and be lazy because I'm not contributing to the world. But when I read books, you tell me I speak with a foreign accent. It's weird. Wada wada. It's not money. It's not management.
Yeah.
It's management.
It's, you know, management. Like,
those kind of things. Like, it goes back to what we've been talking about, the self-love thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know what you know. It doesn't matter what the next person feels or whatever. As long as you and I understand that we're talking about management, even if I say management,
bro,
it does not matter.
Bro,
it doesn't.
You know, it's like we're so focused on the symptom, no one notices the disease. It's like, oh my God, I've got sniffles. No, you've got flu, actually. It's not a runny nose. It's flu.
It's flu.
Don't just blow your nose. Drink some cough syrup. You know, I don't know, drink med lemon or something.
Fluenza.
You know what I mean? And other than the skin, the color of our skin, there's literally nothing between black and white people, you know? And the grinning nigger is a person who feels that he or she needs to be non-aggressive. You know, I must walk around smiling all the time because that way they don't think I'm here to rob them, even though I'm wearing a suit from Tiger Sweden. You know what I mean? It's like I feel like we need to get rid of the grinning nigger. We've come across a lot of grinning niggers in our times. You know what I mean? Because of the paradigm that we're living in. But those kind of things need to change. It needs to go back down to the most basic and simplest of things. You are here. Enjoy yourself while you are here. And don't waste time being anyone else. Don't waste time.
I heard an insane thing. Was it last year? Towards the end. That I didn't know about my entire life until that very moment. I was talking to this older black gentleman.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I get nothing now. Okay, sharp, that's my name. He's like, no, man, but what's your other name? You must have another name. I'm like, oh, yeah, I given. He's like, oh, okay, that's the name that you're going to get a job with.
Right.
It's like, wow. I never thought of that. I never, ever thought
it's crazy
that it would go to that point where there is a specific way that you have to tailor yourself, not only to be there, but to enter that environment.
But why do we do it? Why can't they do the same? Why can't it be, you know, I do it, you do it. Do you understand the amount of the amount of work we go through to try and pronounce an English word in a proper manner, like properly pronounce it? And then comes a white person and just feels like, I'm just going
to,
you know? And then
Chippo.
And you find those who really takes offense who really takes offense when you don't pronounce their names properly. And you're like, but you can't even pronounce mine the right way.
I think that, we don't love ourselves.
How
how
about we meet each other halfway here?
It's not even about there's something I heard from a Tyler Perry movie. I can't believe I'm gonna quote Madea, but I'm gonna quote Madea, man. She said something really dope. She said, it's not what you're called, it's what you answer to. You get what I mean? So up until you put your foot down and decide that my name is Keketso, not Keketso, Keketso.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna call me that, we're not gonna talk. You get what I mean? My name is Tepo.
Not Chippo.
You know what I mean? even for white people, like, your name is Lachlan. You know? Your surname is McClinigan. Then it should be pronounced McClinigan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people that take offense to how... If you take offense because it was done without malice or forethought, like, if I really genuinely don't know how to pronounce your name...
What must happen?
That's not something you should take offense to. You know what I mean? It's understanding when and where to get pissed off about certain things.
That's why I like Kabantaban Jengu Papa Penny. He tells you straight, my English King. Is for communication. God. It's not your for education.
Yes.
He did say.
You understand what I said in this day. Like,
yeah. My English is get by.
Do you get the point?
Yeah.
It reminds me of... well, not reminds me, but it makes me think of the amount of issues that have stemmed from religion. The Muslims are saying Muhammad is the message. Christians are saying Jesus is the message. Jewish people sometimes, you know, they get into the mix as well. Like, no, Moses is the... You know what I mean? And I'm like, guys, everyone, hey, look here. did you guys miss the message, or were you too busy with the messenger? All of these guys said the exact same thing. They didn't say, praise me, I'm your God, or whatever. They said, don't praise me, praise he who sent me. So why are we arguing about Jesus and Muhammad and the other guy?
Buddha.
And you know, put that nonsense aside, man. Like, put it aside. Did you get the message? So what? I mean, I'm quoting Eddie Griffin right now. He actually came up with this point. He was like, so what? The mailman that brought your check last week is not the same one that brought it this week. Did you get your check? Did you or did you not get your check?
Simple, yes, I did. Or no, I didn't. You know, will do.
I honestly believe, from my point of view, when it comes to religion, I do not fall under any specific religion, be it Christianity, Judaism, or the faith of Islam. I do not fall under any of those categories. Fine, I was raised Christian. But I've come to learn that God, in the way that we have communicated about him over the past couple of centuries, is, in my, you know, humble opinion, completely wrong. Because you and I, all we know is life on earth. We know male, female. We know that if you take a sharp object and put it up against the skin, it's going to cut you. That's all we know. The most we've actually created is like infrastructure and cars and wada wada. We've never created a universe. So who the hell are we to talk about a creature or a being or a spirit that created the universe? Who are you and I?
That is what I was asking not so long ago. Like, how do we know it's even true?
That's the thing. It's like, no, man.
I'm not saying it's not, but how do we know it is?
Anyway, it's been an interesting conversation. We've got a tweet here from Casey, and she says, I love you guys. It's been real. At Londy Sam, at Van Given, at Jack_5'4". Same time next week, #20something at cliffcentral.com. Thank you so much for that. Casey, you make my life, man.
Yeah.
You make my laugh.
My blackness don't like you, but my whiteness likes everyone.
It's been real.
It's been interesting, man. Thank you so much for listening. I will be tweeting out the link to the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
It's been so dope, man. We didn't even have a guest, but it's been fun.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. Just remember, go love yourself.
Hard. CliffCentral.com.